Okay, so we pick up where we left off this morning, and we'll be done with Luke tonight. Verse 44. Then Jesus said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." So Jesus reminded them of what he had taught them all along. We as humans are amazing creations. We can do phenomenal things, but one of our deficiencies is lacking a perfect memory, at least for most things. So we have to hear things over and over again. Sometimes it's because of our stubbornness that we don't remember. Sometimes it's just because we don't have the ability. Sometimes it's because we didn't understand just how important something was that was presented to us. And if we understood how important it was, or how grand it was, I think we would be more inclined to remember what it was. So there are just some things in life that are so momentous that we should remember them. And if we can't, we need to keep on working on it so that we do remember it. And of course, what comes out of the Word of God is one of those things. These men had witnessed the 3.5 year ministry of Jesus. God literally walked among them. And they had known the sacred scriptures all their lives, because they were all Jews. They had been taught the Bible from their earliest moments. So now Jesus is just bringing everything together for them. And again, it's just the stuff they needed to remember, because this is God. I emphasize that this morning. You know, when you open up the scriptures, that is God speaking to you. Now, if somehow we could see God, you know, imagine if we could actually see God in all His glory and the angels surrounding Him, and He just spoke to us the word of the scripture, we would probably be more inclined to remember what He said. So we have to work on that. We have to work on our minds. We have to just picture in our minds that this is the God of heaven. This is my Creator speaking to us. So anyways, these men didn't have perfect memories, just like most of us don't have perfect memories. And so He accommodated them. He's not rebuking them or anything like that, but He's just reminding them again of what He had done and how all of it had been foretold in the Scriptures. So what did Jesus teach that He wanted the apostles to remember? That all things in the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, what we would call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, all those things about Him had to be fulfilled. They had to be fulfilled because God keeps His word. If He said, "Here's what's happening, here's what shall happen," He's going to make sure that it happens. And it was also necessary for those things to be fulfilled for our salvation. For if they were not, we would be lost. And why would He go through all this? I know it's not trouble for Him, but looking at it from our standpoint, why would He go through all this trouble with the history of Israel and all the prophets, the writing of the scripture and all that, only to not have stuff fulfilled and us not be saved? It's just not going to happen that way. And as I mentioned this morning, some preachers claim that Jesus is on every page of the entire Bible. So He also reminded them that what they had witnessed in the past 3.5 years, especially the things dealing with His crucifixion and resurrection, had been revealed, you know, in particular in the Hebrew Scriptures. He let them know that the Bible was about Him. It's a message to us from God through the Spirit about Jesus and the things that we need to know. Perhaps you have heard it said before that the Old Testament said, someone is coming. The Gospels say, he came. And Acts through Revelation, the rest of the New Testament says, he's coming again. That's just a good way, in the shortest possible way, to say what the message of the Bible is all about. It's all about Jesus. As Paul said to the Romans, Christ is the end of the law. Or as it is said in Revelation 19, that the Spirit or the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of prophecy. So he's behind it all. It was all pointing towards him. And it was all coming from him. Verse 45. And he opened their mind that they might comprehend the Scripture. I think this is what we all seek. You know, the Bible has a lot of information in it, and it comes to us in so many different forms. Have you really thought about that? I mean, it's one book, but you know there are many books within it. There's stories, there are laws, there are poems, there are expositions, like the book of Romans is expository writing. All these different kinds of things. Some of it, people in the past were to obey, and some of it, we are to obey. And yet, somehow we know that it's all connected. Whatever said in Deuteronomy is somehow connected with what I read in the New Testament. What is said in Esther or Ruth is somehow connected with the story of Israel. And just all these connections, but sometimes we just don't always make those connections. And especially, you know, there's some difficulties along the way. Are there not? Are there not some passages in the Bible you think, I have no idea what's being discussed there? And sometimes even after someone explains it to you, you think, I still don't quite get it yet. So, here's the point, is no one wants us to understand Scripture more than Jesus does. So that's why he started with the apostles and opened up their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures so that they can now go out and preach this message. So again, I encourage you, like I did this morning, learn to see Jesus throughout Scripture. Understand that it's about him. Listen especially to what the Gospels say, because really so much of the Bible is pointing toward the Gospels. And seek his help. Seek God's help. Ask for help in understanding the Scriptures. 46 through 49. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power on high. Okay, so the law, the prophets and the Psalms said it was necessary, number one, for the Christ to suffer. And of course, that was the main thing that they had missed, just like those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Number two, that the Christ was to rise from the dead on the third day. Number three, that repentance and remission of sins were to be preached in his name. And number four, that all this preaching would begin in Jerusalem. Otherwise, I mean, why is it that those things had to be fulfilled? Well, because if not, then we have no forgiveness of our sins. And if we have no forgiveness of our sins, then we have no hope. We have no hope of being saved eternally and living with God forever and with one another. So since they had witnessed the fulfillment of prophecy, it would now be their responsibility to tell the world about it. You know, that was a heavy burden. I mean, what a job those 12 men had. Of course, it wasn't all of them, but it began with them. And they would do nothing but traveling, just about their whole ministries. And so they needed power. They needed power from the Holy Spirit, which is what Jesus is alluding to when he talks about power. And they would need that power to remember exactly what he said to them. Some of it they can remember. But in John's Gospel, John shows us that Jesus had told them that the Spirit would remind them of whatever he taught them. So he didn't want to leave it just to their memories alone, their unaided memories. Because again, the salvation of the world, our salvation, depended upon what they preached to the world and what they wrote down and ended up being in Scripture. Destruction is coming. Someday God's wrath is going to be poured out. And the only way to be saved through that or from that is through Jesus Christ and faith in Him. So they, and ultimately we, need to be fully persuaded of these things, that these things are all true that we see in Scripture. This is why in verse 49, again, He promised that they would receive power to carry out His wishes. And when Luke was done with this book, I don't know how much later it was, he took up his pen again and wrote another book, as you know, the book of Acts, which shows the fulfillment of what Jesus had promised them. That's how it opens up. 50 through 51. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. They desperately needed his blessing. Again, because of the huge job that they had ahead of them. And he gave it to them freely. He asked heaven to bless them. Therefore, they would not fail in their mission. And they didn't. They got the message out. And that's why here we are on the west coast of North America, over 1900 years later, in a different culture and language, and yet we know all these things because they did their job. And so did the church, along with them in their time and after their time, you know, since that time. That's why you and I are able to have what we have. I mean, you know, thinking about this congregation being 100 years old, yet not one person, as far as I know, who was a part of that group, well, no one here is 100 years old, so I know for sure that no one here is from the group that originally started this congregation. And someone donated this land, I believe, that we have our facility on. And you know, this building was built a long time ago, when I think I was 2 or 3 years old. And so here we are, and it's because of all the work that all those generations going clear back to the first century did, because of what Jesus did, and they've all been so touched by it, and so have you. You know, that's why we're training our young people, so that when we're all dead and gone, us older people, the church will continue on. So, he went to Bethany instead of a crowded place like Jerusalem, and having blessed them, he was carried into heaven. Many years ago, a preacher showed me Daniel chapter 7, that it revealed in prophecy the ascension of Jesus from heaven's perspective. In the Gospels here and in Acts chapter 1, we see Jesus ascend, but we're with the apostles. We're watching him go up. But when this preacher showed this to me from Daniel 7, I was like, wow, I'd never noticed that before. So, you know, one of those passages that you read who knows how many times, and finally somebody points out something to you, and you're like, wow, I never saw that before. This is fascinating. So Daniel 7, beginning of verse 13, Daniel said this, "I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed." And I think I actually wanted to include verse 12 in that. But it's just the idea that here we are up in heaven now, and we're seeing Jesus ascend up into heaven and going to the throne of God. There it was in prophecy. Finally, the last two verses in Luke. "And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen." They worshiped Jesus because they finally saw without doubt that he was divine. They had hints of it all along the way, and there's times when they acknowledged it, but the crucifixion really shook them up. But then when they see him resurrected, and that no one stood at the tomb and resurrected him like how he resurrected other people, but that he resurrected himself, that was it. He was deity in the flesh. Hence, he was worthy of worship. And I hope that when we come here and have our worship services, I hope you're thinking in your mind, I'm worshiping Jesus because I believe that he's the Son of God. So they waited in Jerusalem as he instructed, but they waited joyously. Now compare that with their earlier sadness, their previous unbelief, and see how everything has turned around for them. Their hopes were getting up so high during his 3.5 year ministry. They had dreams of what it was going to be like when they thought he was going to set up a David-like kingdom. In fact, if you remember, James and John, along with their mother, came to him and said, you know, when you come into your kingdom, can one sit on the right hand of you and the other sit on the left? You know, they had all these dreams. And then, boom, he dies. So that is all turned around because they saw the resurrected Christ. This is why the resurrection of Jesus is the foundation of Christianity. So they went to a place of worship and praised and blessed him without ceasing until they received that power, and then they were dispersed throughout the world. And today, we can have faith and all that comes with it, joy, happiness, forgiveness, because of what they did. And may we now carry on their mission. See, that's what Acts shows us. They're carrying on the mission that Jesus left with them. But then I used to think it was really odd that Luke just, boom, just cuts off the book of Acts. It's kind of like he leaves us hanging. And I have come to believe he did that on purpose because we're supposed to pick it up and continue on the story. And Luke ended his treatise on the ministry of Jesus Christ with amen. Amen means so be it. May it come to be. It says, I agree with this. So Luke was given his amen to the ministry of Jesus, not to his own writing. So if you agree with what Luke has written, you can certainly say amen verbally, but it's especially important to affirm it with the way you live. The final act of Jesus on the earth was to bless his disciples, and their first act now was to worship him and to praise and bless God. And I just think that's going to happen. When you see God in the scriptures, you'll want to worship him. Surely you've had that experience. I don't think I'm the only one. There's been times I'm alone, and you know, I've read a passage of scripture, and I just thought, man, this is wonderful. And I just praise God. I've stood up in my office in here before. Hopefully no one was in the fellowship hall and just hearing me shout, you know, but that's what I would do. I'd just say, praise God. This is wonderful. And I hope you have those kind of experiences at some point. If you recall, how or where did Luke begin his gospel account? We were at the temple with Zacharias, the high priest, future father of John the Baptist, and he did not believe a message from an angel. Well, how does the gospel, according to Luke, end? We're at the temple, blessing and praising God. In the beginning, we found a priest doing his duty, but he didn't believe the message from an angel. In the end, we find the apostles full of belief. So I want to ask you, where are you on your spiritual journey? Are you where Zacharias was? Not sure about these things? Or are you where the apostles were? Full of belief. Or maybe you're someplace in between. In fact, maybe Zacharias himself was in between. It's not like he had a total heart of unbelief, and I don't want to leave that impression. He certainly believed in God, and the Bible points him out as being a godly man, a righteous man, a man who worshiped God. I mean, what was he doing when we saw him? He was worshiping God. But I would really like to encourage each of us to think back on what we've seen on the ministry of Jesus as revealed in Luke's gospel and just think, what am I supposed to think about that now? What am I supposed to do with this? And then just let your thoughts go with that. Let Jesus be your guide. And just be as strong a disciple as you possibly can be. And of course, we always want to help one another. We want to pray for one another. You know, sit down and talk the Bible with one another. If you never do that with another Christian, I would really encourage you to do that. Just get together with a brother or a sister and just say, hey, let's just talk about Luke or something in Luke or something in the Psalms, or let's just talk about God and how wonderful he is. And I can guarantee that if you do that, you're going to have a blessed experience and it's going to make you a stronger Christian. If you need our help tonight, come forward now as we stand and sing.